This is a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. Go to allthews.3cr.org.au.
Evil minds that plot destruction, sorcerer of death's construction. In the fields of bodies burning, as the war machine keeps turning. Death and hatred to mankind, poisoning their brainwashed minds.
Welcome to the Anarchist World This Week, broadcast across Australia on the National Community Radio Satellite. Listen to the Anarchist World This Week, Australia's sacred cow slaughterhouse. Listen to analysis of local, national, international events. Listen to analysis you'll never hear anywhere else.
Welcome to this special edition New Year's Eve Anarchist World This Week, broadcast across Australia courtesy of the Community Radio Network. This program is coming to you from the studios of 3CR in Melbourne, 855 on the AM dial. My name is Joseph Toscana. Anarchy? No, it's not happening around the world. It's not what happened in the USA with the buffoon. Anarchos without rulers. That's right, without rulers. What gives rulers the ability to determine the lives of billions of people? Inequalities in power and wealth. The anarchist struggle is the struggle to hold wealth in common, and the struggle to devolve political, social and cultural power, possibly through direct democratic means. Now, I'd like just to remind all the listeners to this program on Community Radio 3CR and also all our international and national listeners who are travelling in January, that on the 20th of January we'll be holding our annual Tunaminawe and Morbihina commemoration at the monument which was established at the corner of Victoria and Franklin Street in 2016 after a 12-year struggle by the Tunaminawe and Morbihina Commemoration Committee. It's one of the few monuments in this country, and I think the only monument, significant monument in a major urban centre, to the frontier wars, and we commemorate the hanging of Tunaminawe and Morbihina, two Indigenous freedom fighters from Tasmania who, with three women, Truganini, Planobina and Putirana, conducted a war for 5 to 6 weeks in the Mornington Peninsula and the Dandenong Ranges against the colonial authorities in 1841, and they were hung on the 20th of January 1842 as an example to local people what would happen if they rebelled against the British government. So that's on midday, Tuesday the 20th of January. The first part of the ceremony will be broadcast live via Community Radio 3CR. Then we will be walking down to the Queen Victoria Market, to the place where we think they are buried, to continue the ceremony, which will go for another hour or so. So if you've got the day off, come and join us. If you haven't got the day off, take the day off. Tell the boss that you'll work on a weekend. But it's important that we remember the frontier wars. Now, it is New Year's Eve. Now, this program is pre-recorded. That's right. I normally broadcast live, but because it's New Year's Eve, I'm pre-recording. And what most people do in a pre-recorded program on New Year's Eve is go through the year, highlighting the good and the bad. Well, I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to go through the year. Just go through the year. But what I'm interested in more than just reviewing things, and I'm sure you're more interested than reviewing what's happened, I'm interested in the future. And a lot of people forget that history doesn't start when you wake up in the morning. History started a long, long time ago. And history points us in the direction of the future, because nothing is really new in human history. Passion, love, hate, atrocities, destruction, compassion. It's all there. All there. through the ages. We may be able to communicate with somebody on the other side of the world instantaneously. We may be able to get all that false news and misinformation we all love instantaneously. We may be able to laugh at the antics of the buffoon in Washington, but remembering what he's got his button on the little, his finger, his fat little finger on the red button. But the fact is that change comes, as I keep saying, when people demand change. And for far too long, we as a people have been waiting. We've been waiting. We've been waiting for change. We've been waiting for that Messiah, you know, the Messiah, waiting for the Messiah to lead us to the promised land. Well, there's no Messiah and there's no promised land. All we've got is what we've got. And see, I'm an atheist, and I always think of atheists as two-time losers. Because if death is the end of life, well, death is the end of life and we lost. And if we're wrong, we're in big trouble. So, you know, we're in big, big trouble if we're wrong. I don't think we're wrong. I think death is the end of life. But I'm sure many people out there will disagree with me, and good luck to them. It's their belief system. As long as they don't want to ram it down my throat or somebody else's throat, good luck to them. So what have been the highlights of 2025? Well, we've seen the buffoon kind of exercise his buffoonery, you know, the turd in the Washington punch bowl, telling us what it's like, suing people left, right and centre because they've said nasty things about him, although he seems to say nasty things about people. We've seen 20% of the US Navy now congregated around Venezuela. Maybe they'll bump into each other. Who knows? We've seen the interference in political contests in South America. Somehow the buffoon thinks that the independent nation states in South America and Central America are part and parcel of the USA. The list goes on and on. But the thing is, people are getting used to it. They know what the buffoon's all about. It's just bluster, 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 bluster. Look, the American people elected him. They can keep him. The only problem is he thinks he's powerful, you know, but we'll see what happens. Not much we can do about it in this country. I'm more interested in this country. I'm interested in what's going to happen in Australia in 2026. I mean, we've seen a lot of things happen in this country in 2025, and if you look at the federal election, we saw the election of a Labor government with a historic majority for a Labor government. Just an extraordinary victory. But see, it's a Pyrrhic victory in many ways because only about 35% of the population voted directly for the Labor Party. If it wasn't for the preferences of the Australian Greens and a few independents, they would have found themselves in a difficult situation. And those people who think, like I do, that the Liberal Party is done and dusted, well, I don't think it is. The fact is that the 1% that own the means of production, distribution, exchange and communication are still pouring money into the Liberal Party because they know that it's better to have them in power. But we now find a situation where we've got a Labor Party historic majority that's not even willing to make any reforms, minimal reforms. Look at the Whitlam-led Labor government. Over 240 major pieces of legislation passed through Parliament in a four-year period. Look at the Albanese-led Labor government and how timid it is. I mean, this is a government about maintaining the status quo. It's not a government about introducing major reforms. It's a government which has been usurped by the 1% that own the means of production, distribution, exchange and communication. And the problem is, as I said last week, that we're seeing more and more disenfranchised, marginalised, disillusioned people move towards divided nation because they don't trust the parliamentary process because it doesn't deliver reforms. And to a significant degree, as I said last week, It's because we have political parties which now dominate the parliamentary system. And if you're a member of a political party, and it's only political parties that are able to exercise power in our parliamentary system, you need to follow the dictates of that party in order to survive as a member, because your pre-selection can be removed quite easily. And it's very difficult to be re-elected as some type of independent, as many people have found who have left their major political parties. But it is New Year's Eve. It is a time for hope. And if you wonder what a definition of hope is, it's the love child. That's right, love child. They're not legally married. Of desire and expectation. The desire for change and the expectation that change will occur. It's interesting that the word radicalisation has now become a swear word. Oh, he's radicalised, she radicalised, you know. The fact is that every major social reform, every step forward, has been initiated by people who've introduced radical ideas into the community, who've been able to get other people to support those ideas, who've created social and political movements which have led to the abolishment of slavery. Unless you're a member of ISIS and then you think slavery's in the Quran. So it reminds me of the South African Bulls who talked about, and the Southern USA, slavery was in the Bible. You know, it's an acceptable thing. That's the great thing about religious texts, isn't it? You can... he says, coughing. I must have been struck by the Lord then. You can use religious texts to, you know, satisfy your wet dreams. It's a big issue, isn't it? But let's look at practical things. Practical things you can do in 2026. 2026 is just hours away. Well, you'll either go out tonight and watch some fireworks, or you'll be one of the million people outside the Sydney Harbour Bridge squeezing into that little area watching the fireworks, or you'll be falling asleep at 11:58 before the fireworks on, you know, in front of your television set. Or maybe you'll be on a social media kind of berating the world about, you know, about the misinformation you think is important. Who knows? But it is New Year's Eve, so we need to be hopeful. As I said before, hope is the love child of desire and expectation. Yes, desire and expectation. So why? Why? Why hope for change? Why desire change? Well, because it's very simple. Most people in Australian society are not happy with the situation they find themselves in. If you're part of the 1% that owns the means of production, distribution, exchange and communication, you're concerned about all those bastards who want to ensure that wealth is redistributed. If you're part of the 8% that's part of the investment class, you're worried about the stock market collapsing or your housing, investment property, you know, falling in value. And if you're part of the 60% that, you know, kind of, you know, has a holiday occasionally and pays your bills, you're concerned about your job and the economic situation. And if you're part of the 30% that is on a social security benefit, well, you're concerned about survival, not about a holiday, but survival. So there is concern. And it's interesting that in a period where we have never had it so good, in inverted commas, never had it so good in terms of technological innovations, in terms of being able to communicate with the people around us, that loneliness and isolation is such an important issue. Such an important issue for so many Australians that we are seeing a surge in psychological issues amongst the population as a whole. There are seen more and more people accessing psychological and psychiatric care. More and more Australians. I think we're the second most medicated nation on earth regarding antidepressants. And to a significant degree, this is not because of some individual, you know, problem. It's not because we fail as individuals. But we are looking at a period in human history where the individual has become a commodity. Every aspect of our existence is devoted to making a buck for somebody else. We have monetized every aspect of our existence. Well, we have people who feed us misinformation and disinformation, being rewarded as influencers financially by platforms which we have no control over. Although we may think that we're important because we've got 5,000 or 10,000 followers and we've had 100,000 likes for some Studio Cat video we've put up. The fact is, you and I are irrelevant. I know it's a hard thing to think that you're irrelevant, because you're only relevant in a capitalist society in terms of the amount of disposable income you have. People talk about freedom. Freedom, 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 freedom. There is no freedom if there's no financial independence. You've got the freedom to starve. You've got the freedom to be homeless. You've got the freedom to be insecure. But do you have the freedom without monetary, without disposable income to go on a holiday? Do you have the freedom to buy a house? Do you have your freedom to clothe and feed your kids, send them to school? It all revolves around having disposable income. What freedom do you enjoy if you're part of the Social Security, you receive Social Security benefits? What freedom do you derive if you're part of the 60% of Australians who basically works to pay their bills and have an occasional holiday? Is that freedom? No wonder so many people are stressed out at the end of 2025. No wonder so many people are becoming disillusioned because they see no options. I know that we love to think that somehow we're different to everybody else. Well, I've got some news for you. Whether you're rich and poor, you need to go to the toilet unless you've got a colostomy bag, and then you need to empty your bloody colostomy bag. It doesn't matter how many homes you live in. You can only sleep in one bed. And the list goes on and on. So, we are part of a dysfunctional community. I can't believe it. I said that, a dysfunctional community. We see somebody on the street bending down somewhere in a corner somewhere, and we step over them. Hopefully not walk over them. We hear about some atrocity or see some atrocity live on social media or television, and we think, tut tut, forget about it the next day or a week after, forgetting. We're so fixated on paying our bills. And it's important to pay your bills in a capitalist society. As I said before, freedom in a capitalist society is determined by the amount of disposable income you have. You don't have disposable income. As I said before, you've got the freedom to starve, the freedom to be homeless, the freedom to be abused. Just extraordinary. But it is the end of the year. As I said before, hope is our star. Hope. Desire and expectation. Desire for change. Expectation that change will occur. As I said last week, most people who I know who are involved in activities to change the world have become disillusioned. As keeps saying, to be cynical and disillusioned is to feed the ruling classes, because they want us to think that you can't fight City Hall. They want us to think that resistance is useless. They want us to think there is no other way. The only way forward is to expand the private investment for private profit aspects of our society. No wonder there is so much social isolation, so many psychological issues that are not directly related to deficiencies or problems with the individual, but are directly related to the type of consumer-focused society we have become. Well, the only thing that is important is our bank balance. You go into a shop, you like it, and you think to yourself, oh, I'd like to have that. And then you look at the price and you walk out again. Somebody else walks in and doesn't think two hoots about buying that particular item because they've got the disposable income. So anarchism, a simple concept, anarchos without rulers, is to create a society without rulers. Not without rules. That's misinformation, disinformation. It's a society without rulers, not without rules. Obviously, in any community, there are rules. But the rules in an anarchist society are those which foster egalitarianism, which foster access to wealth, which foster the ability to be engaged in the community. Because today, we have become nothing more than cringing, carping, complaining consumers. And while we remain cringing, carping, complaining consumers, nothing will ever change. And while we believe that you can't fight City Hall, nothing will ever change. The fact is that while we believe the other is our enemy, the migrant, the refugee, the person wearing a funny hat, the person of a different colour, the person, you know, gender, different gender, sexuality, they're the problem. We get rid of them, we will be living in nirvana. What a load of crap. What a load of bullshit. Ultimately, as I said at the beginning of this New Year's Eve, you know, presentation, ultimately, it's the type of society we live in which determines our happiness, which gets rid of our isolation, which makes us feel part of something, not just some commodity to be used and abused by people looking to make a profit. And that's what we see. We are the commodity now. Every single aspect of our existence has been commodified. What that means is it's worth a buck. In the good old days, in inverted commas, not the good old days ever existed, you could sell your kidney. Not in Australia, obviously. If you went overseas, you could sell your kidney. And I could tell you stories about that, but I won't. But now, every aspect is commodified. Press a button, there it is. Mary Jane, Joe Blow, you know? We know all about them. We'll send them some advertising. We'll keep an eye on them. Extraordinary. We are now the product. We are the product. When you go on social media, you're the product. The information is harvested, used to ensure that those elements in society that want to sell you something, whether it's whatever it is, are those that will catch you because they know about you. Not that's an issue, really, when you think about it. You don't have to respond like a bloody Pavlov's dog. And that's the problem. We tend to accept the situation we find ourselves in. We tend to say, yes, sir, no, sir. And as it's the end of 2025, maybe I'll look at one of my favourite hates. You walk into a post office, you walk into a shop, you walk into anywhere you want bloody walk into, and they say, show us respect. The trouble is that we're not showing respect. You walk into a supermarket, you herd it into some self-service line without getting a discount for serving yourself. You open your mouth regarding a complaint in some type of office and somehow you're some type of deviant that needs to be expelled. Where's security? You know? And when you try to get your complaint sorted out and you write to the CEO, you never get a response. You get some little underling whose job it is to do customer relations to deal with you. And we see this at every level of government. And my pet hate is this. We see governments at the state and federal levels create institutions and organisations which theoretically have been created to look after us, to meet our complaints. You work up the right channels and you find that these organisations don't have the resources to access your complaint or the parliamentary legislation which has been passed has made what they do so restricted that they're in no position to answer your complaint. And you're told, well, there are all institutions out there that will look after you. What a load of crap. What a load of crap. Another favourite of mine, not that I'm complaining, it's just a favourite of mine, is the fact governments absolving their responsibility to the community and to the individual. We see them privatising so many aspects of everyday existence. We've got large religious institutions like the Salvation Army and the Catholic Church now being responsible for providing services, social security services to the community, enriching themselves, billions of dollars, while at the same time signing contracts. They're not going to complain or bite the hand that feeds them. The list goes on and on. So no wonder so many Australians are disillusioned. So many Australians feel marginalised because they are marginalised. They are disillusioned. And that's happened because we, you and I, have allowed it to happen. We think the only way forward is to work up the right channels. Up the right channels. Up the institutions they've created for us to access our complaints. But ultimately, as I keep saying, what happens to you in 2026, how you deal with the situation, is dependent on your response. There are a number of responses when you face a brick wall. You know, I say to people, you've got a brick wall in front of you. What are you going to do? You're going to keep running at the brick wall till you break your head and your brain oozes out and you die? Or do you try to scale the brick wall? Or do you walk around the brick wall? Or do you dig a hole under the brick wall? I mean, this is a fancy way of saying there's many ways to skin a cat. Not that I'd like to skin a cat. But that's the reality, isn't it? We are programmed to keep bashing our heads against the brick wall, not looking for alternative ways of dealing with the situation. And the best way to deal with the powerlessness we feel, irrespective of whether we live in a so-called parliamentary democracy or not, is by joining other people with similar ideas and working together to initiate change. An important thing that we need to remember is that dividing and conquering is the normal way that people in authority destroy opposition to the way they exercise their authority. Divide and conquer. And if you fall for that, you're a fool. If you fall for the idea that the other, the migrant, the refugee, the person wearing a funny hat, the person of a different colour, the person speaking a different language, the person with 16 heads is the enemy, well then, you're a fool. Because what it does is deflects your gaze from the fact that power and wealth is concentrated and continues to be concentrated in fewer and fewer hands in Australian society. Now, I know you've heard this a million times. And I know the best way to resolve the issue is by shrugging your shoulders and saying, well, I think I'll collect coins or stones or, you know, I'm going to go to a men's shed and make something, or I'm going to go play bingo or play the pokies or go to the football or watch the cricket, you know. Deflect. It's a little bit like playing test cricket, you know. You only hit the ball that you think you can put away. The rest you deflect. Well, it may work for a time, but the fact is, it's not going to change your situation. It's not going to change the fact that power and wealth is concentrated in fewer and fewer hands. And I'm sure you'd love to go on asocial media and, you know, click, 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 like, then go to bed and think, what a wonderful thing I've done today. The fact is that social media is for fools. Sorry, boys and girls. Ultimately, it's a waste of time. It may be useful in terms of disseminating information. It's another thing getting yourself involved in esoteric arguments about nothing with fools on social media and losing sleep over it. Use it to suit you. Don't become a commodity on social media. Or asocial media, my apologies. The fact is that asocial media is asocial media. It's got nothing to do with sociability. Initially, the internet was created to provide communities that had suffered a nuclear explosion or a nuclear war, the ability to communicate, the survivors to communicate with themselves. Today, the platforms are owned by a handful of individuals who use those platforms to deny us even the ability to think, feeding us with misinformation and disinformation, occasionally giving us a helping hand. Poor little people we are. Poor little people we are. Now, I may sound disillusioned, but I'm not. I know you may find that hard to believe. I've been an activist since I was, 17? I'm now, 74? That's 57 years? I'm not disillusioned. I'm not part of that tribe that, is the aphrodisiac of the ruling classes, those that are disillusioned. I've seen changes in my time. I've seen major changes. And every one of those major changes haven't occurred because some representative, parliamentary representative, has said to themselves, we need to make that change. It's occurred because people have demanded change. They've demanded a bigger slice of the cake. They've demanded raisins be put in the cake. They demand to have a cup of tea with their piece of cake. And that's what has made the difference. All the reforms that have been passed, created in this country since Federation, are directly related to direct action, to people making demands, not just on their parliamentary representatives, but making demand on society for change. Not just personality politics, not just identity politics, but politics which calls for the redistribution of wealth, which calls for the commonwealth to be used for the common good, not for a small number of corporations and individuals. Unfortunately, in Australia at the end of 2025, it's all about divide and rule. Whether it's the divided Nation Party, commonly known as One Nation, whether it's the timid Australian Labor Party, whether it's the self-destructive Liberal Party, whether it's the National Party, which no longer only represents agribusiness, whether it's the failing Greens, or the socially reformed based Teals, the fact is there is nobody in Parliament that is calling for the redistribution of wealth, that is calling for legislation to be put in place which ensures that everybody has access to the basic necessities of life. Those days have gone. And they've gone because we're consumed with the asocial media. They have gone because we're consumed with our own individual issues. They're gone because we're consumed with identity politics. They're gone because we are consumed with division. That's why they're gone. What major reforms have occurred? Significant reforms. We've only had two significant reforms in the last half a century. One, the introduction of Medibank, which is now Medicare, which is a reform which I was involved in for many, many years, is a reform which has ensured that all Australians access to basic medical care. All Australians have access to the pharmaceutical benefits scheme. So if you get sick, you may have to wait, but at least you don't have to go bankrupt to access care. And a significant reform, second reform, was introduced to the National Disability Insurance Scheme by the Gillard-led Labor government. It's interesting, isn't it? Both major reforms have been put in place by Labor governments. Not that I can see this government actually making any significant reforms apart from helping the corporate sector through corporate welfare. But that's a different story, which we won't go into today. Because it is New Year's Eve. We're all supposed to be happy. The year's going to change. Things are going to be different. Well, they're not going to be different. It's going to be more of the same if we continue to walk in the same direction, if we continue to march to the same drumbeat. It's not going to be any different if we continue to support a private investment for private profit mantra. If we continue to worship at Mammon's altar, it's not going to change. You may think it's going to change, but it's not going to change. At the end of the 2026, we'll have the same construct. The 1% that own the means of production, distribution, exchange and communication, the 8% that are part of, who've got disposable income, that are part of the investment class, the majority of people who are working, about 60%, and the 1/3 of Australians are on social security benefits. There is no redistribution of wealth. And although they talk about increasing productivity, it's about increasing productivity to increase corporate profits. And what happens when you increase corporate profits? Most of those profit goes to shareholders in dividends, not to updating equipment, improving infrastructure, or improving workers' salaries. And it'll continue like that until there is a major social, cultural, and political movement for economic equality. A social, political, and cultural movement is not about just, you know, removing glass ceilings for sections of the population, but removing glass ceilings for the whole of the population, or a significant proportion of the population. And the divide and rule mentality that somehow dominates extra-parliamentary politics today needs to be pushed aside. I mean, we've got people living in the CBD who think people who live in the urban centres are crazy. We've got people who are living in the urban fringes think people in the CBD are crazy. We've got people living in the regional areas who think people in the cities are ripping them off. Then we've got people living in rural Australia who think they're all a bunch of losers, and the list goes on and on. There's no national unity. And I'm not talking a national unity, a fake national unity, which is based on nationalism. That's something we have to be careful of in 2026. War with China. We'll all go out there and sacrifice our children and grandchildren to keep the yellow hordes from the land. I mean, that's the type of rhetoric we've got to put up with these days. Then we've got the buffoon in Washington, the turd in the Washington punch bowl, carry on about this and carry on about that. We've got our own government becoming an appendage to the USA military-industrial complex, with an increasing number of troops and bases in this country, making us a target in any future conflict. Just extraordinary, isn't it, when you think about it, that we're expected to protect this country when we don't own the country. Isn't it interesting how people use nationalism to encourage people to sacrifice their children on the altar of Mammon to keep those in power in power? It's interesting that after World War II, the people of Britain got rid of Churchill in the election, and they elected a reform-orientated Labor government. And they did that because they'd made the sacrifice and they wanted some return for that sacrifice, not just some medal or some nice words about the fact that you'd lost three members of your family in that dispute, in that war, but they wanted some tangible change in their lives. And that's what we need in Australia today. You want us to sacrifice our children and grandchildren for your grandiose plans. Well, let's have some redistribution of wealth in this country so that everybody, not just a minority, can live the good life, that everybody has some type of disposable income. That's what we want. And as artificial intelligence, in inverted commas, artificial intelligence, becomes more and more incorporated in the corporate world, obviously, the corporate world, as we see in the banking sector, will do everything it can to minimise its expenses by closing branches, forcing people into the digital world, dismissing staff. And we accept it. Holus bolus. Holus bolus. And what we'll see is the same situation that occurred in the Roman Empire. As a major general, I've forgotten his name, was walking his troops back. Yeah, they didn't have armoured cars in those days. Walking his troops back from Spain, back to Rome, he noticed all these Roman citizens living on the outskirts of these large plantations, which were run by slaves, which were owned by Roman nobility. And he thought to himself, and when he got to Rome, he said, what's the point? What's the point of having an empire using slave labour to enrich a minority while denying our own people, our own citizens, the plebeians, the basic necessities of life. And what we saw was the introduction of the first universal basic income in the world, where Roman citizens who had political power were no longer needed in the productive process because the Roman nobility had slaves to run their estates. You don't pay slaves, you feed them, and then occasionally you give them their liberty and Roman citizenship to keep them under control. So what we saw was subsidized food, subsidized housing, and at one once in the first century AD, 245 public holidays where people were actually able to go to the Colosseum and have a good time watching other people being killed or animals being killed. I was a bit facetious there. But that's the reality. The introduction of artificial intelligence will mean that we no longer need every person in society to be involved in the productive process for society to function, to prosper, and to expand. So you do one of two things. You ignore calls of people who've been disenfranchised and disillusioned, who will finally tear down your house of straw, or you introduce a universal basic income, which means that a significant proportion of the population can satisfy their basic human needs without the need to be a wage slave. Now, obviously, some people will want to continue to work, but you don't need everybody to work. But you need everybody to have a decent standard of living. And we can do that in 2026, tomorrow, through the introduction of a universal basic income. We are a rich nation. Most of the profits made from our resources go overseas. We rely on a fraction of taxation. We should control our resources. We should profit from our resources. This is nothing radical. Just look at the Norwegian government and their future fund. Trillions of dollars. By ensuring that the profits that were made from the exploitation of their resources were shared between the private sector and the state. We're happy for a bit of taxation revenue at the end of the day. We have a few royalties. You know, as long as, you know, they employ 2% of the population, we're happy. So a universal basic income can be provided tomorrow if there was the demand for a universal basic income. If there was the demand to ensure that profits were distributed to the population. But no. No, we're quite happy to grind on. More people on Social Security benefits. Happy to beg and beseech. Happy to jump up and down when we're told the enemy is at the door. We've been told that through eons. I remember, not that I remember personally, in the 1880s, it was the Russians were going to come through Point Nepean in Melbourne, and there was all these cannons erected. You can still see, the embankments. And then it was the Russians. Then it was, before that, it was the French. Then it was the Vietnamese. Now it's the Chinese. Who knows? It'll be the Martians next week. Who knows? But that's the reality. What's the point of defending the nation when you are excluded from participating and sharing the wealth, the commonwealth of the nation? What is the point? There is no point. No point whatsoever. Sounds like I'm a traitor to the country. Well, I'm not. I'm saying, very simply, it's like when you walk into a supermarket and you demand to be served. You're not going to serve yourself unless you get a discount. It's the same principle. It's exactly the same principle. Sure, I'm happy to defend the nation if I own the nation or part of the nation and I enjoy part of the Commonwealth. But if I'm excluded, if I'm disenfranchised, if I'm marginalised, what's the point? What's the point? There's no point. And that's the issue we face in 2026. Increasing hostility around the world. our total dependence on the USA for our survival when you've got people of the caliber of the buffoon in Washington, our inability to ensure that the wealth which we have in this country, the enormous resources, the mineral wealth you have in this country, to ensure that the profits are enjoyed by the population as a whole, not just by a few shareholders and a few corporations. It's a major issue. These are the issues that face us. And ultimately, it doesn't matter how much disinformation and misinformation is out there and who ultimately is elected to Parliament. The fact is, as we've just seen in Nepal and we've seen in Myanmar and we saw in Bangladesh, it's when the people get together, and we saw in Sri Lanka recently. This is three examples in the last, you know, just last 2020, this year, 2025. They proved that mass action gets results. And that's what it's about. It's about creating mass movements which are not divided by artificial divisions, but mass movements which come together to remove the boot on their neck. And it doesn't matter whether it's a white boot or a black boot or a yellow boot. It doesn't matter if it's a boot which is, you know, from a transgender person or a straight person or a gay person or a lesbian. It doesn't matter. What matters is the boot on the neck. That is the central issue we will face in 2026. And I invite you to become part of that movement. Tear up your membership card for the Somebody Should Do Something About That tribe and the Gunner tribe. You are a member of this society. You can stay in your corner and get fed morsels and bark when you're asked to bark. Or you can say, I'm not a consumer. I'm not a cringing, carping consumer, complaining consumer. I'm a citizen. I'm a permanent resident. I have rights in this country. I need to share in the wealth created by this country. I have responsibilities. I have children. I have grandchildren. I have elderly relatives. I have friends that need my help. And I need the help of the country. What's the point of living in a society which is becoming more and more unequal? What's the point of living in a society where I am nothing more than a cog in a machine that's going nowhere? You've been listening to The Anarchist World this week, broadcast across Australia by the Community Radio Network. This is a special pre-recorded New Year's Eve edition. I wish you and your friends and families and the people you're responsible for all the best for 2026. I encourage you to get involved in activities around the country. It's people like you and me who eventually will make that difference. We may be small in number, but we're strong as far as our ideas are concerned. We know where we want this society to go. It's a matter of coming together and struggling to create that society where wealth is held in common, and where we are involved in the decision-making processes in this country. You can look at further ideas on the YouTube channel, Public Interest Before Corporate Interest. You can join Public Interest Before Corporate Interest by going to pibci.net, P-I-B-C-I.net. You can leave messages on 0439 395 489. I'll be back in the studios on the 7th of January, the first Wednesday in the new year. Thank you once again for listening to The Anarchist World this week on your local community radio station over the past year. You can always send letters. Yes, I do answer them to Post Office Box 20, Parkville 3052. You can email me at info@anarchistmedia.org or info@pibci.net. You can join Public Interest Before Corporate Interests online right now, pibci.net. The important thing is that 2026, tomorrow will be a new year. make your resolutions, not about losing weight, not about making more money. Make a resolution about trying to change society to make life easier for each and every one of us in this country. This could be a great country. It isn't. And it isn't because we have allowed a small section of the community to control every aspect of life in Australia in 2025, because we believe that there is no other way forward. So I encourage you to become active in 2026. Let's tear up that membership card to the Gunner tribe, and somebody should do something about that tribe. Let's move forward together in 2026. Let's not be divided by organisations like Divided Nation. Thank you for listening to The Anarchist World this week in 2025.
Evil minds that plot destruction, sorcerer of death's construction.
An analysis you'll never hear anywhere else. Anarchist World this week, Australia's sacred cow slaughterhouse. 10 a.m. every Wednesday. Listen to The Anarchist World this week for an up-to-date analysis of local, national and international events.
Poisoning their brainwashed minds. Oh, Lord, yeah.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast. If you found it valuable, please consider donating or subscribing to support independent community radio. To find out more, go to 3cr.org.au.